Meditation is something quite important for everyone. This is Dr. Herbert Albari, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California. Meditation. Emerson had a phrase that was very powerful. I must get my bloated nothingness out of the way of my divine circuits. I must get my bloated nothingness out of the way of my divine circuits. We often use affirmations to bring about choices in our life. We have people, when they're little children, write down on the blackboard or write down on a sheet of paper, I will be a good boy, I will be a good boy, I will be. And this is a step in the right direction, but it loses a little bit of its impact when we will be something. And when we have the child write, I am a good boy, I am a good girl, I am, I am, I am, then we are getting ourselves out of the way of the divine circuits, and we are putting the cause in motion for the ideal that we would like. Our meditation is to think upon something, to think about something that is very important to us. And so whatever it is that we choose to meditate upon, if we will meditate on it with all of our heart and soul and being, if we will meditate on it, that means quietly think about it in such a manner that whatever it is that is our desire, that that's what comes forth in our life. It's not a matter that we want something, though desire seems certainly to be wanting something. It's not a matter of wanting something. It's a matter of recognizing that everything that we could ever want or we could ever enjoy or think about, everything that might ever be a dream in our mind, already exists somewhere, already exists in the allness, already exists in the concept, because we could not think about it if it did not already exist. And because it already exists, we can then say that it is so. It already exists. And if we would say, I am a good boy, we say, I am a good boy. That concept already exists. And now, for the outward reflection of that experience to be, we must call it forth. And we call it forth by putting it into our thought, putting it into our inner beingness, letting our inner self reveal exactly who and what we are. Oftentimes, we treat for things, we pray for things, we meditate upon things that we would like to experience in our life as a demonstrated experience. We would like to have health. I have so many students, friends, people who contact me and ask me for healing. They say, you are a healing university, you should certainly work with me on healing. And I say, yes, that is true. We are a healing university, and we work with you on healing. We work with you on learning the concept of healing. And once you have learned the concept of healing, then it's up to you to apply that concept to your life. If I teach you mathematics, and you do not apply it in your life, you will never have the benefit of mathematics in your life. Healing, meditation healing, is a teachable thing. It is something that we can learn, but then once we have learned it, we must apply it. If you have the ability to drive a car and do not ever drive a car, you will not have the talent of driving a car readily available to you or obvious to you. These things are so realizable. They're so understandable if we look at them from the unbiased point of view. Get your bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits. Now, just as we have no idea how the technique of learning mathematics comes into our mind, we have no idea how learning languages comes into our being, but as we repeat it again and again, saying the words of the language we're learning and applying that to the knowledge of what that language means, little by little, step by step, as a child would do it, door, table, car, come, laugh, smile, happiness, all these things are related in a very simple, beautiful, wonderful way, and the child picks them up in a most natural, beautiful, sincere way. And if a child is taught right, you can always tell how a child is taught, because he is a mimic of whatever he is learning. As we meditate, as we think about things that are important to us, are we meditating on the aspects of that thing that we would like to demonstrate in our life, or are we meditating on the aspect of the thing that we would not like to demonstrate in our life, you might say, that we are currently experiencing? Well, like the child. If the child says a word incorrectly, and we tell him, now that word is this way, or we just use that word ourselves correctly, and every time we are with the child, we have a sentence or we have a statement which uses the word correctly, not telling, this is how you should say it, this is how it must be done. We just use it correctly, and as a role model for the child will pick up how to speak it correctly. Now, we are our own role model for healing and for all areas of our life. And as we are our own role model, it is up to us to determine what sort of things we're going to bring about in our life. What are we going to meditate on? Think on these things. Whatsoever things are of good report. Think on these things. Ask and it shall be done unto you. Think on these things. Knock and ye shall receive. Think on these things. When a mother is talking to her child with love, and sharing with their child with love, the child picks up that love, picks up the attitude, picks up the feeling in the mother's heart. When a mother says, oh, Mrs. Jones wanted me to tell the story about her problem, but I cannot go around telling tales. I can only go around saying the good things about Mrs. Jones. Mrs. Jones is a wonderful person. Mrs. Jones is a thoughtful lady. Mrs. Jones is so beautiful. She is so great. I just love her. But Mom, don't you know that she did this? That doesn't matter. She is a good, lovely person. And the more that I call forth in my thinking her goodness and her loveliness, the more I'm going to experience of her goodness and loveliness, and the more I'm going to experience mine. I do not carry tales about anybody. I only say good things. And you don't say, you do not carry tales, you do not. You say, I do not. Because it's you, it's me, who is training myself by how we are acting for ourselves. We are our own role model. We can look at many different people who have many different attitudes, and they could take us into many different directions. But what is the direction that we would like to go? We will take a role model who will lead us in the direction we want to go. Is that role model sharing with us integrity? Is that model sharing with us honesty, purity of mind, one-pointedness of speaking at all times, saying the truth, saying loving things, saying joyous things? Oh, yes, you say that's not easy. Well, it's the easiest thing in the world. For if that is the only thing you have in your mind and your heart about yourself and your world, then it's the easiest thing in the world. Now, it's hard if that's not what we have been taught in our mind. If that is not what we have been given illustration of as a role model by our parents and by our peers, by the people in our world. Who do you want to be your role model? I want to be my own role model. I want to be wise enough that I look at the world around me and I select out of it all that is good and beautiful and pure. And if there's anything that appears to be not so, I release that. I will not include that in my world. I will not get my bloated nothingness in the way of the divine circuits. if I were to say many years ago, there'll never be thoughts traveling through the air. There'll never be pictures traveling through the air. There'll never be that. You got to have wires. You got to have connections. You got to have this and that. My goodness sakes. How late it is that these things come into being. Because we get our bloated nothingness in the way by saying it cannot be done. And then some wonderful genius, some mind that does not believe that it cannot be done. And he just says, there's a way to do it. There's a way to do it. Like the Wright brothers when they wanted to create their aeroplane. They had a stick that had a propeller on the top of it, and they put a rubber band around it, and the stick went up in the air when, as long as the rubber band was spinning and spinning. And they said, well, now, we're going to make one that'll take the two of us, my brother and I, Orville and both of the Wright brothers, and they're going to take both of us up in the sky. Well, it took a number of years for them to accomplish that. They went through high school, and Wilbur and Orville created a flying machine in which they could both fly. And they flew beautifully. They didn't fly wonderfully in the beginning. They had many trials and errors. But that's because they had no reference book. They had no, and the books that they used, which were expected to be books that had knowledge in it, books that were telling them how to do things, and the books really didn't know how to do it themselves. And they had to unlearn what the books told them. And they had to listen to a divine path within them, a divine teacher within them. They had to meditate. And learning to meditate is one of the most beautiful things that all of us can do. Now, stop and think about that. What does that mean? Stop and think about that is stop and meditate on that. The Wright brothers stopped and meditated on it. And as they stopped and meditated on it, beautiful things come forth out of their thinking. They were not sure what it was going to be, but beautiful thoughts came forth out of their thinking. And as these beautiful thoughts came forth out of their thinking, magic and wonder came into their life. Because they let go and got that bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circus, so that the divine circus in them could reveal the genius that they were, the genius that they are. We too, in our meditation, can quietly listen to the divine within. And as we listen to the divine within, our logical outer self, our logical thinking system, which says it can't be done, has to be sort of bypassed. And not necessarily bypassed. We just don't think about it. If a thought comes up and says, now, that won't work. And then our mind says, somehow, there is a way that that can work. I feel that it can work. And I feel that it can work, so therefore, there's a thought somewhere that it can work, and I am going to probe and listen and think about it. And so, you don't read a book about it. You don't go and study things about it. You don't go out and talk to other people about it. You go to the divine within. You go to the source within you and listen to that source and come forth with the answer. The author of the great books listened within. They didn't go without. They may have taken outer materials and written about them, but it was from their within center that they had this, their meditative center. They meditated upon these things, and as they meditated upon these things, the answer came to, and the answer came through, and the answer came for them. How do we meditate? How do we stop and think? Well, for everyone, it depends on what it is that is challenging your thought. And challenging your thought truly is the right word. It's not being a difficulty for you. It's not being a thing for you that's impossible. It's not being something that has never been done before. It's not being something that is going to make you stay up night and day. It may make you stay up night and day, but you'll be staying up night and day as you flow with the answer. You'll not be sitting in a probe wondering what the answer is night and day. You'll be sitting up night and day with the answer flowing through your mind of ways to look at it, ways to consider it. And the ways that you're going to look at it and the ways you're going to consider something in your meditation are things that have come up to you before. It'll be first things that you've thought about, things that you have concerned yourself with, ways that you have looked at it in the past. And then each one of these, in their mental logarithm, will pass away, and they will be found to be perhaps part of the starting post, part of the starting ground. But then you let go of that. And then all of a sudden, beautiful ideas will flow into your mind. They'll say, this could be something very significant there. Like Mr. Edison trying so many different types of substances before he found the filament that would make the electric light bulb burn and burn beautifully and for a long period of time. And even there, he found newer and newer and better ones as time went on. But he didn't say, no, that's all wrong. He just say, hey, that's good. Now I want to find something that does what I want to do. He set new parameters for himself. He said, I want it to burn longer. I want it to burn stronger. I want it to burn more beautifully. I want it to be something that'll be dependable. And little by little, he brought forth those things. Now you say, those are just insignificant little things. Really? Well, look at your lamp. How long has your lamp burned in your study, in your living room, over your desk? How long has it burned? How long has one light bulb burned? How many hours? How many wonderful hours of light? And is it a 60-watt bulb, a 40-watt bulb, 100 or thousands and thousands like they have over the stadium? My goodness. Or the power of the laser beam as they shoot this light impulse into the body and cut off blood vessels that are acting improperly, or they do surgery with laser, or they take the laser and they point it toward the moon or the sun or some other object. Oh, such marvelous things that are being done by listening and meditation and hearing not necessarily all the answers you want, but guiding you even further than the answer that you wanted to ways that you never dreamed the answer might come. And that the answer is far beyond anything you had even thought the answer should be. Because while you meditate, you open your mind, I open my mind to the infinite consciousness, to the absolute mind of all. And I am one as it, and I get my thought system, my brain, my bloated nothingness out of the way of my divine circuit, so that the absolute mind and I are one, and I am radiating all of the knowledge and all the wisdom and all the creativity that comes out of this allness. Oh, the allness doesn't think of itself as being the allness. The allness doesn't think of itself as being a creative source. It doesn't think of that at all. It is. And so we, when we stop thinking, what will it be, and just let what it is flow in and through us, then the what will it be will never be in our thinking. It'll always be what it is that's flowing in and through our thinking. Every one of us has the opportunity to have all wisdom and all knowledge flow in and through our being. And the more we make simple affirmations of, I know that I know that I know the divine in me is the answer, the more that we say, I know the truth. The more that we say, I understand whatever the topic is we'd like to meditate on, and then our mind, the brain, the infinite cosmic mind of all, flows through our brain into an awareness in us, allowing us to be one as the answer. And as we are one as the answer, then our meditations have truly come to light. Whatsoever things I think upon, if they be of good report, then this is what I truly desire for my life. What is it I would meditate on? What is it I would give my attention to? I talk to the University of Healing students, and I talk to this staff of the University of Healing here. And as I talk with each of these people, I share with them, tell me every desire of your heart. And they say, yes, oh yes, I'll tell you. And then they start telling me their problems. And I say, hey, if you want to tell me your problems, it's perfectly okay. But it's a waste of your time and a waste of my time. Because finally, you're going to have to get down to the solution that you want. And once you tell me what your solution is, then I will say, it is done. Then I will say, let it be. But so long as you have to tell me what the problems are, then we have to dwell on problems. Now, I will not tell you, don't tell me what the problems are. I will just tell you, like a psychiatrist would tell you, okay, we're going to do an in-depth research into your problems and into the things that have disturbed you. And after we're done with that, then we'll do an in-depth study into how solutions can be brought forth in your mind. Now, the in-depth research is going to take so many years to figure out all of the garbage that you've had in your consciousness and all the limiting thoughts you've had in your consciousness over all the years of your life. And after we finish that, and after we spend thousands of dollars of your money paying me as you do this, then we'll finally get to the solutions. And when we get to the solutions, then we'll be like the psychologist. Not the psychiatrist, but like the psychologist in dwelling upon the solution. Okay. Now, dwelling upon the solution is a very simple thing. You get out of your mind all of the thinking that tells you you can't do something, and you get into your mind all of the thinking that tells you that you can do it, that it is done, that you are a very competent person, that you are a very sincere person. We can look at all of the people on earth who are mentally unstable, and that includes perhaps most of the people on earth, and we look at these people who are mentally unstable, and we say, that's too bad. And then we turn to ourselves and say, why do we say that's too bad? Well, that's just too bad that they have to be unstable. Well, they are unstable because they think they are unstable. They think that the things that they are thinking about are the things that are going to give them strength and power and accomplishment. And that is exactly what they get. They get the things that are giving them strength and power and accomplishment because that's what they're thinking about. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so when they think about these limiting things that would not lift them into the heights of glory that they could be, then they will be wherever their thinking takes them. And so now, if you and I, as parts of these people who are mentally unstable, if we say, I am mentally sound, I am mentally stable. Wow, that's a big step in the right direction, isn't it? I am mentally stable. And other people will look at us and think, you're crazy, you're mentally unstable. Well, don't tell anybody. Just tell yourself. Because you're talking with you and the divine in you. You're not talking with the outer world. The outer world will see what they want to see. But as you stabilize yourself by your thinking and saying, I am balanced, I am stable, I am in control of my life, and as you affirm that, as I affirm that every moment of my life as I meditate upon that. That is the only thought I think, the only idea that's in my consciousness, the only pathway that I'm going to go. Then all instability fades away. And instability is merely thinking that I am unstable. And now I am thinking I am stable, and that is what I experience, and that is what I know. I am mentally balanced. I am mentally stable. Say that to yourself again and again and again, and you will leave the group who are mentally unbalanced, because they're mentally unbalanced only because they're thinking about it. And you say, well, no, they have some physiological problem within their body. They have some genetic problem. They have this or that. No, that's not true. Everyone works out of the divine mind, the absolute mind. And our brain has sort of disassociated us with the divine mind and told us that we cannot and are not and will not and all that sort of thing. And as long as we say it is so, then it is so. If you tell a child he is stupid, he will soon act very stupid. If you tell a child he is brilliant, he will soon act very brilliant, no matter how he had acted before. Now you say, well, it's not just that easy. No, that's true. It means you have to believe it, and you have to act as though it is so with your child, and pretty soon your child will act as though it is so too, because you are the child's role model. And pretty soon you want that child to be its own role model, acting as though it is that which it is, and you put the cause in motion. Now, that is true. That is a psychological fact that is proven over years and years and years of study and activity, and everywhere it's applied, it is true. So that is true too for you. That is true too for the majority of humanity who feel that they are unstable, that they're unbalanced. They feel that they cannot do the things they'd like to do. Well, meditate upon it. Meditate upon, I am balanced. I am harmonious. I am good. I am peace. See, just keep thinking these things. And every attitude that goes along with a phrase that you use becomes part of you. Every attitude you think about becomes part of your consciousness, part of your mind, as it becomes part of mine. People who are gurus, who are teachers, who are leaders, who are competent beings in the society of humanity, are people who have confidence in themselves. People who believe in the divine within themselves. They may not call it the divine. They just say that I know this. Well, they don't even say I know this. They just are it. And they act from that consciousness, and they act from that oneness, and they act from that beingness. And what greater glory, what greater wonder, what greater expectation, what greater wisdom could anyone have? This is where you are, and this is where I am. Are you ready for experiencing that? Are you ready for knowing that? Are you ready for being that? Well, it's very simple. To meditate means to think on. Whatever I am thinking on, I am meditating on. And whatever I meditate on, that is what I bring forth into my world of experience, because that is what I am giving power to. I make the choice of what it is I want to give power to. What is it I want to empower in my life to be something that is mine forever and ever and ever? What is it that I want to empower to bring forth in my life to demonstrate as a reality that I am? Do I want to empower love in my life? Well, that's not so hard. Oh, it's not hard. But what kind of love do you want to be? Do you want to be unconditional love? I am unconditional love. I am unconditional love. Say it again and again and again and again. And let it be a truism in you. Let it be something that demonstrates itself in every aspect of your being. I am whole and perfect. Your body is the temple of the living spirit. It is wonderful. It is whole and perfect. It is divinely created, divinely designed, divinely carried out. And it's only our negative thoughts that take it away from that divinity and try to force it into a pair of shoes that it doesn't fit in. Try to force it into a format that is not part of its belief and belonging. So we say, I am whole and perfect. And as we affirm, I am whole and perfect, we bring that forth in our life. As we say, I am independently wealthy, we are affirming the truth of the independent wealth of the universe that's everywhere and is ours now too. As we affirm, I am friend of all and I love all humanity, then all humanity is our love and our friend. We can make the choice today, and we should make the choice today if we wish, to be all that we can be. So let's meditate on the things that make our life really worthwhile. Have a lovely day and meditate in a positive way, for that's the only way to make it pay. I love you. I love you. I love you.